Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference, or just trying to make life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Today I talked to Bri Webb, who many of you may well know in Guelph here as the lead vocalist of the Constantines, but he is slightly less well known as the operations coordinator of CFRU Campus and Community Radio out of the University of Guelph. His latest work, though, is in the media of film. Royal City Summer 2000 is the Hidden Histories portion of this year's Guelph Film Festival, and Bri will recall that wild and crazy summer 19 years ago when it was just him, his friends, a Hi8 video camera, and a dream. Nostalgia on video is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Imagine what Guelph was like in the year 2000. We were about 30,000 people lighter, that's for sure, but these were strange times. This was the time before the Sleeman Center and Old Quebec Street. There was just the hollowed-out husk of the old Eaton Center. There was no Guelph Central Station, just all the buses crowding around St. George's Square. City Hall was based out of 59 Carton Street and a dozen other buildings around downtown. And what is now the sprawling commercial plazas at Clare and Gordon were just an old mini-putt course. Also, it would not have been unusual to see ads for something called Mondex on your Guelph Transit bus. Now imagine that you're a new kid to town and that you just arrived from London, Ontario to make music in the Royal City. This is the start of Bri Webb's Guelph journey and the point of his video installation for the Guelph Film Festival called Royal City 2000. As the Constantines were starting their journey to rock stardom in the summer of 2000, Bri Webb spent his off time borrowing a video camera and filming some of the highlights of his new town for our friend out west. Fast forward 20 years later, and Webb dug out those old tapes for the Hidden Histories project in conjunction with this year's Guelph Film Festival. And in them, you'll see scenes of the ward and downtown Guelph circa 2000, and in it you'll be reminded of just how much Guelph has changed in the last several years. Maybe you'll also be reminded of the good old times in Guelph, you know, if the year 2000 was your good old days. And I know for a lot of you, they are. So this week on the Guelph Politicast, we talked to Bri Webb about those good old days in the ward, what he thought of Guelph back then, and how it's changed, why he filmed the things he filmed, and what it is about Guelph's past that makes us so nostalgic. And yes, for the music fans out there, we do talk about those good old times with the Constantines and those famous early days playing shows in the Royal City. So I caught up with Bri Webb last week in studio. Brian Webb, thank you for coming down the hall to speak with me today.
I'm going to just look at all the, listen carefully for any technical problems that might happen during the setup here.
Well, we appreciate that. listeners of this podcast know there are sometimes technical problems, but I digress. Royal City Summer 2000, how would you describe this? Is it a documentary? Is it an art project? Because I've heard it both ways.
Right, yeah. I think it was maybe one thing when I was making it and one thing when I pulled it out of a stack of VHS tapes 20 years later or 18 years later. So I think of it, generally it's a home movie collage, you know. I went out when I was living here in Guelph and 2000 in the summer, and I used to just go out skateboarding at night and take a Hi8 camera around, and you know, we'd make little skate videos but also just sort of shoot things that looked interesting, you know. And the main reason I think I was doing it was that a friend of mine named Kyle had moved. We had both left London, Ontario around the same time. I moved to Guelph and he moved out west to Victoria, I think it was at the time. And so we were just corresponding throughout that first summer, having moved away, and sending each other videos of the new places we were living, you know. So that was what I think the intention was, I guess, was to make something and send to Kyle across the country, you know.
And then they end up in a box.
Yeah.
And 20 years later.
Yeah, and I don't think, I hadn't really seen it. I you know, put it together and sent him a copy of it, and I had kept a copy of it, and I didn't really think about it Maybe it crossed my mind occasionally when Kyle came up and when I saw him, but I really didn't think about that tape. And then Nathan Lohr, who's the director of the film festival now, is a good friend of mine. We play music together, and he was talking about some of the stuff that's coming up, and I was working on connecting him with another friend of mine who is an amazing projection artist and filmmaker who just moved to town. And then it just completely casually came up that I had this old video, because I think we were talking about projection stuff and kind of casual ideas for installation projections that might happen throughout the festival. And I just thought he might want some content like that for something. So this came up, and then it was a quick conversation. Then he called me back, I think, the next day, and was really excited. Kind of the things that run through his head, the possibilities of it kind of being connected with the Hidden Histories mm-hmm. project that's gone on with the film festival for years now.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting time to look back on. It was like a real kind of transition period in the city. Mm-hmm. And, it's interesting to sort of what matters to a newcomer, someone who was a newcomer at the time, like yourself. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is, of course, very ward-centric. You were living in the ward. Mm-hmm. But, you still live in the ward. Yeah,
I do, yeah.
So in terms of looking back on that now and sort of digging up the tapes and how the city has sort of evolved in the last, 18, 19 years, what were your thoughts? What were your impressions? Like, how has this changed? How has my neighborhood changed?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I think that's noticeable in there is the missing Woods factory.
Very noticeable.
Or the fact that it was there and now it's not. And now it's giant kind of luxury condos, that are going in. And there's a shot of the skyline from on top of the Cooperators building. There's footage of us skateboarding. We used to go up there and skate through the parking garage, and just go up and down. So there's a shot from the top of the parking garage there looking out towards the train bridge. Mm-hmm. And there are no condos,
empty sky.
See. Yeah. So that, and that's changed really just in the last 5 years, it feels like, or, 5 or 6 years, that section has become, condominiums. Yeah, I mean, I really loved the ward at the time. I was really just enamored with Guelph in general, coming from London, which, is the insurance capital of Canada. And it's like, a very old money kind of town. And it was a great place to skateboard at night, too. But I was...
There was all that pressure to wear a helmet.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I think I was excited to leave that town. It was where I grew up, and to move to this place that I really had perceived as a arts mecca in kind of southwestern Ontario, and where people I knew were making interesting, weird music in their basements and garages and home recordings. Jim Guthrie was a real hero of mine at the time, and a real reason that I started learning about Guelph and the kind of culture that was happening here. And so that was what I was experiencing that summer. I think it was all like, really, the video is both like a, like a collage of grainy pictures of that part of town at that time. And some real physical, you can notice physical changes, if you're here now, but also just me, being a kid who was away from the city he had grown up in for the first time, like living, and enjoying some measure of freedom that I, hadn't up to that point in my life.
The idea of freedom, I don't know if it was, because you said they were home movies, so there was nothing really sort of purposefully in terms of thematic material, but the freedom part of it, I thought about it in a number of ways, but one of the things is, there are a lot of scenes of you and your friends out at night, you skateboarding, and there's really kind of no one around. Mm-hmm. And it makes you think of, first of all, it makes me think of like the smallness of Guelph, even just 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And then it also made me think of how we are developing, to look at the political side of things, of course, mm-hmm. we're developing these big city problems of drugs and, crime and other things, which would probably dissuade some people from lonely riding their skateboard around the back streets of Guelph in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's I definitely feel like, I mean, certainly there were drug problems and mm-hmm. addiction, people suffering addiction in town and displacement. And but I think there were, you know, there were the shelters that were downtown at the time and, mm-hmm. and that, you know, had space for people that are not there as of, you know, a few years ago. And that's definitely a noticeable thing. I think there are people, you know, when I'm out at night now, it feels like there are more people who have been seemingly displaced, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very astute, I would say.
Yeah, but there's also the big portion at the, was it Festival Italiano?
Yeah.
Because that's something very quaint and nostalgic about it, even though there's still a Festival Italiano, but mm-hmm. it's, I don't know, it, looking at things in the past, or at least in that past, things seemed more quaint,
idyllic,
I mean, those are the kind of words I'm thinking of. That
yeah.
It's just, it was a neighborhood party, now it's like this part of the whole cultural and touristy back.
It's true. It's also like, I mean, you can see the Festival Italiano is, I think, my favorite part of the whole thing. I think of it like kind of a, at least in terms of the visuals of that, is like a real centerpiece for this whole thing. But it's clear that there was also more money there at the time, or like there was maybe more people alive at the time who were contributing to that mm-hmm. festival happening and it having the resources that it had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's changed. I mean, I love that it happens, and I, you know, my family and I go when we can. And but it, yeah, it's different to look at the scale of it at that point, you know.
Right.
And even just the images of you know, older couples dancing, you know, and it's like a
right.
tent full of people and older people dancing, and I don't see that really. Maybe it's just kind of who I am now and the places I find myself in town, but I think that generation maybe is disappearing a bit, you know.
It's a thought that, you know, a lot of the people and you know, looking at the ward, a lot of the people who made up the ward, you
mm-hmm.
know, moved in post-war, worked in the factories around there, bought houses around there,
mm-hmm.
sent their kids to Tytler.
Mm-hmm.
The factories are gone, Tytler's gone, the building's still there, repurposed, but the kids aren't going to school there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's the condos. It's the characters, you know, it's not a surprise that the people would go away, because you can see it with the character going away.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a pretty easy narrative to read to read into that, and that is like ubiquitous, you know.
Yeah.
In every neighborhood of its type, you know. But as you said, I mean, I don't, when I was filming these things, I wasn't thinking about making a document of that at all. It was just a real document, or like taking pictures of my friends and fun things we were doing and interesting things that were around me that were new and beautiful to me at the time. Going to the river, you know, the Ellora River and swimming, and just loving that I could do that with those people at the time, you know.
It's the fact that that's the middle portion, the trip to the river, mm-hmm. everybody going down to the river, because most of the rest of the thing is at night, or it's in these little odd urban corners and basements, and then in the parking garages and or on dark streets. But then here in this middle is all this sunny portion. It's like, you know, we weren't. I don't know what it's, because again, it wasn't edited with any sort of particular narrative.
I think that
direction, but
all I've been having rewatched this and trying to like figure out what I was thinking then when I was putting this together with two VCRs for my friend. I think maybe the idea there, why it's laid out the way it is I was really, you know, immersed in music at the time and you know, for a large part of my life. I was writing songs and thinking about song structures and that was far more of my focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think maybe that was just a dynamic decision as in like the breakdown of a song, you know, it's like there's something needs to happen here that changes the tone.
Right.
You know? And, so that's my guess, is that maybe it answered a call in that moment in the series of things that I put together to that point.
I want to get back to what you said about, you know, things that you found beautiful. And there's a scene where you're skating down McDonnell, mm-hmm. and you see it's a cooperative building, but you see the reflection of the old Greyhound bus station.
Yeah.
And I have a bizarre soft nostalgia spot for that. The griminess of the station, like the three video game machines that mm-hmm. never worked.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even old what was still essentially the Eaton Center at the time.
Right.
Because you're skateboarding through the parking garage. I mean, it was the middle of the night, but at the time, that wasn't unusual because there was nothing in that building at that time, really, except for a few shops.
Yeah.
I almost miss that emptiness. That feels weird to me, but it's almost true. There used to be an emptiness there that you could.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel nostalgic about that for some reason.
For sure. It's like I moved to Toronto after living here. I think I was here 2000 to 2003 or so, and then I moved to Toronto and then Montreal. But I was always a little disappointed at the nightlife, you know, in these bigger cities, because I really, as you're saying, like I loved and embraced the solitude of being out at night in a smaller southwestern Ontario town, you know. There's a great dichotomy, I guess, between Guelph having a really interesting like artistic nightlife. There were like interesting concerts happening in different spaces around, lots of basement shows, stuff like that. Ed Video's space would put on shows. It was a lot of really creative use of space and in a nightlife sense, but by and large, like it wasn't a lively city after 11 p.m. or even like, you know, it's downtown now with the like safe semester stuff is like it's gone to a whole other level of not really feeling safe.
Well, it's
downtown.
Also, it's also corporate now.
Yeah, right.
Because it's, you know, there's one company that owns five or six of the establishments.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they organize, you know, we're going to have this night at Palace. We're going to have this night up at the concert. It doesn't have that organic feel, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking as someone who's not a nightlife person. Mm-hmm. So even I see it.
Oh, and I'm not so much anymore either. but yeah, it's true. It's true. Absolutely.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about sort of this nostalgia, because this seems to be an undercurrent in Guelph right now, because you have Jenny's shirts, the Gone Guelph shirts. Mm. There's different examples of this that we feel like Guelph is missed. We've lost a lot. Mm. No matter how much we've gained as a city, we've lost a lot. I'm curious your thoughts on that and how your little project here in retrospect sort of gloms onto that.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I feel like I can remember moving here in 2000 and being really excited about this new place, and I was going to live in this house that was falling apart, but where we had rehearsed in the basement and have shows. It was all very exciting to me and seemed like this new frontier for my own life and expression. But that, you know, within a few months of that, people were saying to me, Guelph's not the same as it used to be, you know? and before I lived there, it was like a place called the Rucksack, and that was where Jim Guthrie lived, and an amazing like studio in the basement, and tons of stuff happening there. There was Royal City, the band, and King Cobb Steely and Black Cabbage, and so I think, you know, so I bring that up just to say, like, even then, when I first arrived here, people were telling me it's not the same as it used
to
be.
Right.
And so I don't know if that's a something that's symptomatic or like tied in with the size of town and the fact that you may notice transition a bit more than you would in a larger city or different types of places.
Mm.
But at the same time, I do feel like it's different. Absolutely. And there's things that I lament about the current, you know, the state of development in town in some ways. And I don't know. So, it's interesting. It's always going to move and change, but
People here now are going to look in 20 years are going to look back and say to someone who's just arrived, it's not the same.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know.
It's a weird phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
There was concert footage in the end, mm-hmm. which I found interesting because it was very much this. Here's what it looks like. Here's me skateboarding. Shooting off firecrackers very unsafely, I will add.
Yeah.
But
should be a disclaimer at the top.
Yeah. professional stunt work. Yeah. You're at the Festival Italiano. It's all this, sort of community stuff. And then in the end, we're on the road. We're in the van. We're in the basements right. doing the shows.
Yeah. It doesn't, it speaks to the lack of, clear intent probably in what was as how this thing was conceived, but I think the reason it's included in what's being shown is it was included in what I sent to mm-hmm. my friend across the country, and it was just the main part of the thing is the movie is the context of everything that I was living at the time, and then the postscript is what I was living at the time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what the action was for me that was happening in the greater context, which is the substance of the movie, I think, the context.
But, at the time, the Constantines had a lot of hype here. A lot of people love those basement shows. People still talk about those basement shows. Was there an awareness on your part that you maybe capturing that is like capturing a bit of I don't want to say the mythology of the band in so much as maybe you feel like maybe mythology is a big word, mm-hmm. but in terms of catching the beginning of something that played such an important part of your life.
Yeah. I mean, I think the experience of being in the Constantines was one of, almost every week, especially kind of right out of that summer, something new happened that we never would have thought possible. I mean, we, at the time, that the shot of the van and us on the highway, that was our first trip out of town. Like mm-hmm. we only played maybe three shows up to that point around here. And so it was certainly long before, people knew anything about us outside of Guelph. And so maybe that inadvertently ties into the idea of this being the Royal City Summer, where it was the band was pretty pretty contained within the city limits at the time as well, and we were just beginning to get out. I think it was just nice to put in there in a home movie sense, where it's like, this is where it started and it went somewhere else. And it's funny to see a bunch of, see yourself as a baby-faced, healthy little turkey, running around and thinking that anything was possible. I mean, it's a strange thing to watch now. I have very different, perspective on things, I think, in general. Mm. In a lot of ways. I mean, I loved that time and I love my life now. I just feel like I look at the world with different eyes, with 41-year-old eyes now.
Do you ever make it back to that the house on Huron?
Yeah, that's one of the best things about living here now is that my friends Mike, Dean, and Kathy live just down the street. I live in the ward that was in the ward on Huron Street, 106 Huron, and I live around the corner on Hood Street now. But the house, I think it was maybe 3 years after I moved back here with my family. This guy Mike reached out to me because they were moving from Edmonton, I think, at the time, and just asking what my impressions of the city were, and they were kind of in the same mindset I think we were coming here, where we were a bit overwhelmed with the idea of having a family in a big city and wanted more green space and be able to bike out to a lake and stuff. So anyway, but long way around, but so Mike ended up, they moved here and they were looking, shortly after moving, and the place that was in their price range and that, you know, that they saw very shortly after moving here was 106 Huron Street. They did know the history of it. And I have admitted to me that they were fans of the Constantines. So that was a funny coincidence. So now the Constantines we weren't playing together at the time. We took like 4 years off. But when we did our first show back in 2014, we played a sort of surprise show at James Gordon's headquarters, campaign headquarters, and on Essex Street. And the after party, Mike let us have the after party at their house and hang out in the basement, which was a real trip for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of when people come out to see this as part of the Guelph Film Festival, is there something in particular you hope they take away, or is there something, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
There something the hope you have in showing your old home movies,
right,
to the crowd.
Yeah. Probably my biggest hope is that no one gets sick during the shot where we're on the scrambler or the cobra at the Festival Italiano, because it's a lot of spinning camera work. So that would be hope number one. I don't know. I mean, I just think it. I hope that it just is an interesting thing to look at in contrast with what we see every day now here. You know, mm-hmm. That's the idea, I think, of showing it, is that it's a different picture, a picture of a space that's changed.
Mm. Any more home movies? Can you make a sequel?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually should reach out to Dallas, the bass player for the Constantines, who I borrowed the Hi8 camera from.
Oh, yeah.
It was not mine, and he would let me take it out and shoot these things, but he has loads more. He has, you know... He was in the art program here and made some incredibly strange and wonderful things. So I'll see if he has any more, and maybe that'll be next year's Hidden Histories.
All right. We'll see what happens. Brian Webb, I guess I'll see you around sometime.
Yeah. I'll be around.
And once again, that was Brian Webb. Royal City Summer 2000 is screening at Brothers Brewery this Thursday at 15 Wyndham Street North from 9 p.m. to midnight. For more information about any of the Guelph Film Festival programming or to buy tickets, you can go to the website, guelphfilmfestival.ca. And if you want to see Bri Webb in his current environment, he can train you on tech stuff at CFRU, and you can get in touch with him at tech@cfru.ca. And that's it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics. It's Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at Adam A. Donaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you would like to help build a locally sourced independent media site in Guelph, please consider donating to Guelph Politico, and you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. For all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you very shortly. And until then, see you next time.